All right.
Okay,
now, you had your question was is
ready again?
Yes, yes.
Okay. Colossians 2:11.
All right.
Is that where we're at? Colossians.
That's where we're going.
We'll get you there.
Colossians 2:11.
Right there.
Colossians. Talking about what we have in Christ.
Okay.
In whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hand. And what is that? In putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ.
Okay.
What is the circumcision of Christ? That's a whole lesson.
Did you do it? It sounds like you did some legwork on that. Did you do anything on that?
I'm not helping, so I can't say anything.
Huh?
Yes,
I can't say anything. I just have to ask the question.
Was that circumcision
okay
going on at your house?
There's now we will look at, well, you know what circumcision means, right?
Yes.
Put it this way.
Yeah.
Spiritual circumcision.
Oh, okay.
You know what spiritual circumcision is.
Yeah.
And before, I think, I don't know if Ed had mentioned this last class. I think he did, where we talked about the body of sins that we have.
Mm-hmm. He says it, putting off the body of sins in the flesh. He says it in that scripture.
Prior to salvation, we are the old man. We're not, the old man is not stuck to us, or he's stuck to us. We don't have the old man. We are the old man, and that's the body of sins. Paul says in Romans 7, he said, well, look at Romans, hold your hand in Colossians, look at Romans 7. And really, Colossians is, and Ephesians, and Philippians for that matter, it expounds on some of the basic truth that's found in Romans and Corinthians. That's why the scriptures are arranged for your edification, for your growth. And as you progress through the letters, then you progress through the doctrine. And it actually forms Christ in you. It matures you as you go along with it. See, he didn't say this to the Corinthians, not like this. So Romans 7, he says, Romans 7, verse 23. Actually, before we do that, just flip back to Romans 6. All right. In 6:1, he says, what shall we say then? You know what? Let's have a word of prayer. I'm sorry. I just jumped into that. Father, we do thank you for this day. We thank you for this privilege and opportunity to meet again, to look into your word. We pray for enlightenment, for understanding as we look into these things. Lord, lift the words off the pages and into our hearts. Give us understanding that we might not only know these things, but as we learn how we ought to walk in to please you, that we would abound more and more. Lord, we pray for the Holy Spirit to have free course, that he might take these truths and enlighten us, that we might do the things that you find worthy and well-pleasing. We thank you for the format again, and we thank you for those who have gathered, and we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ who loved us and gave himself for us. In his name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Sorry about that. That's 6:1. He says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Now, since we have this board here,
No chalk.
All right. What's on the other side?
Another chalk.
Still chalk. That won't work then. But if you picture this in your mind, where Christ is on the cross, right? Wow, you good. Christ is on the cross, and you picture the body, the physical body there. Now, this is a spiritual process, but picture this in your mind, where you're standing at the cross, he's on the cross. And when the moment you believe, the Holy Spirit takes you, puts you where he is. Where is he?
On the cross.
Okay. When he's on the cross, who's on the cross?
We.
Who's we?
We are.
Who's we?
All of us?
Say me.
Me.
Okay, because you have to make it personal. Right? You have to say Gavin. So they might not do it. See, even though I said picture yourself on the cross, that doesn't mean that they're doing that. But you could do that. So he says, he's on the cross. Who's on the cross?
Me.
All right. And this is when you believe that he's up there for who?
Me.
Us.
Okay. For me.
Us.
And when he dies, who dies?
Me.
All right. And they take him off and they bury him. Who is that? Who are they burying?
Me.
Okay. And when they take him out and they put him in, well, they put him in a tomb, they put who in the tomb?
Me.
Okay. When he resurrects, who's resurrected?
Me.
Okay. So he says, this is called a baptism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's no water.
Right.
It's just identify. It identifies you with what's going on the cross.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So he says, don't you know this?
Mm-hmm.
He says, don't you know what really happened there? They sing a song, were you there?
Mm-hmm.
When they what?
When they crucified.
He says, sometimes it causes me
to tremble.
To tremble. You weren't just there.
It was happening to you.
But it's spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't feel it. Right? But you believe it.
Mm-hmm.
So he says, don't you know this is what happened? Verse chapter 6, verse 3. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
All right, here we go. Knowing this, that our old man is like him.
With him.
With him.
What?
With him.
With him, that the
body of sin
might be
destroyed,
that
henceforth we should not serve sin.
For he that is
dead is free from sin.
Okay, now he says, knowing this, that's right,
exactly.
Same word, he don't use it here.
Exactly.
Lawrence said circumcised,
mm-hmm.
That's exactly what happened.
Mm-hmm.
What you are is you just what do you say? What, Ed? What do you say? You just, what would you say? Remember, I'm just a
scumbag. What do you say?
All that good stuff. You're nobody. You're nobody. You put on, you know, your perfume and your deodorant and your cologne and put on your suit, tie, you go off to work. But what you covering up is nothing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big
lipstick on a pig.
A great big chunk of nothing. You believe that?
Yes.
We just don't like to admit it. But he says here that our and when we believe, our old man is crucified with him, and there's a reason why he's saying that. That verse 9, that what? The purpose and intent is that the body of sin might be what?
Destroyed.
That is this. That's this. The flesh. The old Lawrence who walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the old Lawrence who fulfilled the lust of the flesh, the lust of the mind, the old Lawrence who was by nature a child of wrath, the old Lawrence who was dominated by sin, who was deceived by the old man. He says that old man, that body of sin, has been taken to the cross and crucified. And he said he's been what?
Destroyed.
Destroyed. But we still feel him, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
He still has suggestions, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's why some believers feel like, well, I can't be saved. If I'm doing this, there's no way I could still be saved. Why am I thinking like this? Why do I feel like this? Because this happened spiritually and positionally. So when he does this, he says, your old man has been crucified, that the body of sins might be destroyed. What he does, boy, that chalk would be really handy right now. But I'll do it like this. This is the old man right here. All right, this is you. This is your soul right here. And what he does, because your flesh and soul are together like this. We talked about that last week. You're dead. You're dead in trespasses and sins. So this old rotten flesh is connected to the way you think, the way you feel. That's why you don't go, when you get saved, that's why you don't go by emotions. That's why you don't go by what you feel. Because you still get suggestions from the old man, and that information has not been funneled through the Word of God yet. So that's why he says you need to do what?
Renew your mind.
So when he says, you says, I believe. And he says, okay, I've taken you to the cross, and what I did was strip away old Lawrence. Now, all this is inside you. Here's the old man. He's separated from you, from the soul. And he comes in, regenerates that old dead spirit, and the Holy Spirit's there also. Now, the new man is not the Holy Spirit. The new man is, he regenerated your dead spirit that you might be able to relate now. Before, you couldn't. You did what? You did what he said do. Because he was there. Right?
Yeah.
It's like Siamese twins. The stronger one dictates the body. What they do, where they go. Right? But if you go in and you have a surgery and you circumcise the two, if you cut them apart, then they're individuals. Right?
Yeah.
Now, the stronger one could say, do this. And because that the weaker one has always been subject to the stronger one, it very well may be that they would do it. But do they have to?
No.
That's what he said. Your body of sin has been destroyed, that henceforth, from that point on, you should not what? From what point on?
Point of your
when was that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's why he said, how many believers you know that know that?
No. Including me, one.
Including you, one? But you know it now, right?
Yeah.
But he said, that's why he, well, I love the way Paul does it, because all this is informative. He says, knowing this, before you get to chapter 12, he says, you need to know some things about what happened. Now, this is positional. What's your name?
Gavin.
What's your middle name?
Gavin.
Gavin. What's your last name?
Schultz.
Gavin Schultz.
Frankie Gavin Shane Schultz.
Now, how do you know that?
My birth certificate.
You saw it?
No.
So how do you know that? How do you know your name is not Jeremy Schultz?
Because his grandpa.
Huh?
I think it is.
You think it is because somebody told you that, right?
Yes.
Now, guess what? All he has to do is, well, he can believe his grandfather or his mother, but he could take a drive to Washington. They'll pull his record because he's on file up there.
Yeah.
They'll pull it and they'll say, your name is Gavin. What's his middle name?
Frankie Gavin Shane Schultz.
See, he didn't know his name. He didn't know what they call him. But it's on record. Because the minute he was born, somebody filed it.
Yeah.
So that's like us. The moment you get saved, somebody files it that you're a believer, and this is your position, but it's Christ who does it. It's settled in heaven. That's your position. You are crucified the day you believe. You are seated in Christ the day you believe. You are circumcised the day you believe, baptized, resurrected, sealed. All those things you get the moment you believe. Only thing you don't have is knowledge of the processes. So not only that, if you don't have knowledge of the process, you don't know why do I think like that? So he's positionally, the old man is crucified. You can't go to God and say, he said, Lord, you never walked, you never surrendered, you never yielded, and you can say, well, you never enabled me to do it. Couldn't you say that? He could say that out of ignorance, but the Lord would say, Did you ever read Romans, Lawrence?
You didn't know that.
And he'll say, I said it over and over. I said, know ye not. I said, knowing this, look at Romans. Look at Romans 6 again. He says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sins might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not
serve sin.
For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise. Why did he say likewise?
You, likewise.
The same.
Just like Christ.
What about Christ?
That he died, and he died on the sin once, but he lived, and he lives under God. Likewise.
Okay, wait. Now, wait a minute. He died on the sin what?
Once.
Okay. And after that, he does what?
He lives unto to God.
Okay. When he died, what?
We died.
Okay. How many times do you die?
One time.
So what should you do now?
Reckon yourself as dead.
And do what?
Live
unto God. What's your handicap?
Lack of knowledge.
Yeah. I know it.
Because as far as God is concerned, is what?
You know.
He says, I've done my part. That's what he's saying. That's what Israel's part was this. He says, if you do this, then I'll do this.
Yeah.
The only problem is that it was weak through the sinful flesh. They couldn't do it. They didn't have the Holy Spirit. But he says, now you got an edge.
Yes.
He says, we're not under the performance system. He says, but I've cut you away from your handicap. Your handicap is you.
Yeah.
The old you. He says, but I've separated you from that. I've circumcised you from that. He says, now, this is all because you want to.
Mm-hmm.
Because you want to do this.
Yeah.
So he says, now, just like this happened, he lives under God now. He says, you live under God now.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 11. Mm-hmm. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through our Jesus. Okay, what about this? Why you keep cursing me? I can't help it.
Ooh. You can.
Liar.
Hmm?
You can.
You can? How do you know you can help it? Because he just told you. He's enabled. He's cut you away from the dominant nature.
If you believe.
That's what you keep in mind. If you believe. He says, look at 11. He says, likewise, reckon what?
Yourself. Ye also yourselves.
Dead.
To be dead.
Reckon.
Mm-hmm.
Count it up.
Mm-hmm.
You do the estimation. That's not, that's a logical deduction of information that you've been handed. You know, like a, it's like a lawyer. Like Clue. Who did it? And they say, well, here's the clues. This, 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 this. And from all that information, you get it and you reckon. You say, well, from what I have here, the butler did it in the pantry with a knife. God says here, he says, I did this, I've done this, I've done this, I've done this. So you get all that information together and you say, you know what? With that information,
I infer
that I'm able to live under God because of what he's done, because of the circumcision that he's already done. All right, verse 12. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. He says, let is a word of permissive will, right? Mm-hmm. If it's a word of permissive will, that means what? Not you have to do it, but you don't have to do it. Let not. Thank you. Let not. So if I take not out there, you can do what? You can let him. So who is the choice up to?
Me.
He says, let not sin therefore reign is what? Huh? Rule, reign,
dominate.
Control. Dominion, control, right. He's strong. Mm-hmm. And he's deceptive. Mm-hmm. Isn't the old man strong?
Mm-hmm.
You know why? Because he's been around a long time.
That's why they call him the old man.
That's why they call him the old man. I got to borrow that one. He's got a lot of information, and it's all corrupt. Is it not?
Yeah.
Habits are hard to break.
It's not. You know, that's why we were talking about the spirit of man. What things know a man save the spirit of man that's in him? And I do this sometimes where it's not even intentional, but if you think that you're something when you're nothing, all you have to do is go home for a minute, sit down, and just think.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just your regular thought process, and you'll see how wicked you are.
Yeah, that's so true.
That's true.
Even when you don't want to, because that is the old man.
Mm-hmm.
He's corrupt. That never happened to y'all.
Oh, yeah. I sit down, I go to sleep. Right? While I'm sucking on this ice. Right?
Even when I'm asleep, my dreams are corrupt.
So how does that have to do then with verse 12 where it says, don't let sin therefore reign in the mortal body? Sounds like it's raining.
It sounds like it's a possibility, doesn't it?
Can rain, yeah.
And that's why he and you don't think the Lord knows how strong the old man is? But I'll borrow this verse. Greater is he that is now, he says
the key is obey, that you obey it.
Well, here we go. Let not sin therefore. Why would he ask you that if you didn't have the ability to tap into the power? He says, let not sin therefore reign in your right to stop, to reign in your mortal body, that you should obey the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but contrast and comparison, yield yourselves unto God, as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. He says, neither yield.
Don't obey and don't yield.
Neither yield. Stand up for a second. See what he just did?
He just yielded.
He just yielded to
he
me.
Yield.
Sit down. That's what. But that was a good example. If he didn't want to get up, he could have said, I don't want to get up. So when the old man comes around, he says, Lawrence, you know what time it is.
That's why I be talking to myself.
That's the way he is. But whatever it is, he might say, you gonna let him get away with that? And you say,
it just hit me why so many women call their husbands
old man. He's just, we're just that bad, right? Yes, sir.
Observation phrase.
Yes.
We still have free will.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we don't. Mm-hmm. He doesn't do anything with that.
That's right. You're not a robot. When he saves us, and that's what's consistent. That's what grace is about.
Yeah.
Grace is when God is, whatever he gets out of you, it's him, and it's out of gratitude.
Hey.
Oh.
Thank you. Man, that was feeling good.
Oh. But what he does is he works in us.
Mm-hmm.
By his, because now you got the receptor.
Amen.
The Spirit's there. He takes this. He says, this is what you need to do right here. And he gives them all new information. Well, let's finish this up. He says, neither yield. That's what Roy just said. We're not robots. If you had a choice, if you didn't have a choice, he wouldn't say, neither yield.
Amen.
And yield is not just volunteering your body. Romans 13 says this. He says, awake from the dead, thou that sleepest, and Christ shall give thee light. I think that's Ephesians. But he says, the night is far spent. This is Romans. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. He says, let us cast off the works of darkness. And he says, and make not provision for the flesh. What is provision?
Allowance.
Allowance?
Yeah. Allow it.
It could be feeding
it.
It
could be what?
Feeding it.
And that's exactly what it is. Provision is this. Is when you go to the, if you go to the army, they come in. You know what they do? I've never been to army, but I saw it on TV. They do what?
They strip you.
Everything. And they put it in a box, a bag.
Do they put your hair in the bag too when they shave you?
They shave your hair off. And they says, now,
you're mine.
They give you everything you need to do what?
What they want.
Kill.
To be whatever they want you to be.
Soldiers.
Now, God says, I made a provision.
Mm-hmm.
And I've given you everything you need to do to be to what? We talked about it last week, the grace, the measure of the gift of faith. He says, I've given you everything you need to do that. And you, he says this, he says, don't you give the old man everything he needs to do what? Whatever he wants to do.
Make him
stuck. Make him stuck. Right. Now, watch this. He says, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under what?
Grace.
Now, he says, when you under the performance, you know what that does? It brings out the worst in you, not the best in you. It brings out the worst in you. And he said in Corinthians, the letter killeth. So you say, I want to please God. And then you go somewhere and they roll out a list for you. This is what you do to please God. So you look at that list. Let's just say, hypothetically, that the list is the Ten Commandments. And usually that's what people go by. He says, here's the list. There's more than that, but we just go with the ten. And they rolled it out and they says, well, this here, just do this.
That's wrong.
And you said 10, that's it?
That's
wrong. So you go at it.
Do one.
Do one. You can't, right, you can't even do one. You know what the first one is?
Believe.
Well, not that one. That's, love the Lord thy God with all thy what? Heart, soul, mind. You don't even need to go to the next one. Because James said what?
Failed at one, commit them all.
If you fail at one, don't go to 2, 3, 4, 5.
You're lost.
That's why he says the law was our
to
bring us because Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. So you look at that and he says, now sin brings forth. All it does is it kills you, because you realize that if I want to please God, it can't be by performance. And every time you try to do that, he says, if you do it, then I'll give it to you. If you don't, I have to punish you. And the wages of sin is the ministration of condemnation. That's the service that kills you. And you say, but I just like to try. That's struggle. There's a track out. It's a little track that says, if you keep trying, you'll never succeed. You try to. If you're working, if you're trying to please God, you'll never do it. This is my son in whom I'm. Hear ye him. That's where the answer is. It's in him, right? So he says, neither yield yourself, yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness, but unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God. Verse 15. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants, ye are to whom. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but ye have
obeyed from the heart
that what?
Form of doctrine which was delivered you.
Being then made
free from sin,
ye became the
servants of righteousness.
He says, you obeyed from the heart that form of
doctrine.
So if you don't have that form of doctrine, what are you going to have a problem with? You're gonna have a problem with the old man. Because you can't deal with him out of ignorance. Now, you know how many believers, how many believers don't know they even have an old man? Because they say this. Well, they read 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and it says, well, all things are of God, all things have been made new. You heard that. I'm sure you heard that. My hands are new, my feet are too. And
but do you know when?
They don't know when. They don't know how. So they say, well, and then they run over and they'll grab James and it says that he that is born of God sinneth not. So they say, well, I guess I'm not saved. So they pretend for about maybe 2 weeks, if that long. And then when they sin, they say, well, I'm not saved anymore. I backslid.
Yeah.
Grouping all that information together, not rightly divided, and not knowing what Paul had just covered here, he says, wait a minute. Don't you know you've been baptized?
Buried with him.
You've been buried. You've been resurrected. You've been circumcised. He says, all that happened, and you didn't have to read a verse. But now you do. But now you do. He says, because I want you to know what happened. Mm-hmm. Because if you know what happened, you'll know what's not happening.
Yes.
So look at verse, not chapter 7. I said chapter 7, I'm sorry. Chapter 7, he says, verse 14, he says, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For that I would do, that do I not. But what I hate, that I do. Here's a struggle. He says, I want to do good, but I'm doing bad. Right?
Yes.
He says, verse 16, if then I do that I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. So if you look at the law and you say, you know what, that's a good commandment. Mm-hmm. Thou shalt not steal. I don't want to steal, but I have, and I do. So you can look at the law and you say, well, there's nothing wrong with the law. Where's the problem?
Me.
It's with me.
Yeah.
Verse 17. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Mm-hmm. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. So now this is Paul. In Romans 6, he deals with the old man. Romans 7, he deals with the old man when he tries to perform. Number one, he says, first let me show you that he doesn't have power over you. That's Romans 6. Even before he does that, he says, Romans 4 and 5, he says, first let me tell you that your salvation is secure. Okay? He says, you got it by faith. It's a gift. Right? Then 6, he says, now, let me tell you about something you need to be on the lookout for. The old man. He says, now, you've been circumcised from the old man. He's given you the heads up. Because then you say, well, I'm free to do the law now. So Paul picks up the law and he begins to function under the law. And he says, wait a minute, this is not easy as I thought it was. I thought once I was saved that I'd be able to do this. And he says, no, that's not what the commandment is for. Paul says in Timothy, he says, now knowing this, that the law was not written for a righteous man, but for disobedient, for sinners, and for anything else that be contrary to sound doctrine. He says, so don't fool with the law, because that's not where your realm of operation is in the law. We're not under the law, we're under
grace.
Okay, he says, in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for to will for the good. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that which I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. How many people, how many want to do right? How many have done wrong? Today.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I know what is wrong.
Right. So you can say like this. You say, I know that in me, that is in my flesh. That's why, because you can't say that nothing's good in you, because who's in you?
God.
He's in there. You can say that it's in my flesh. Mm-hmm. Dwelleth what?
No good thing.
No good thing. He didn't get rid of his influence. It's kind of like a aftershock. Like you have an earthquake and it goes out from the epicenter and they still feel the ripples God says, I've crucified the old man, and you're going to get those ripples for the rest of your life. Yes?
Will the old man try to use reverse psychology?
That's what he's an expert in reverse psychology. I tell you what the old man will do. Gavin said, would an old man use reverse psychology? He'll say this. Look at this before we answer that. Look at chapter 7. Look at verse 8. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence, or loose living. For without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment, which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, did what?
Sin
deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore, the law is holy, and the commandment holy and just and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become what? Exceeding sinful. So he says this. Gavin said, can the old man use reverse psychology? He says this. He takes things, and the old man does what? He deceives you.
Passing pleasures of sin.
That's what he'll say. You've been saved. You know you're saved, right? He said, you know you can't lose your salvation, right? Mm-hmm. Right. Well, go ahead and do it.
Mm-hmm. You can go back and repent.
You can repent. You don't have to repent. You're seated in heavenly places. You got eternal security. It's only one time. You got impunity. Immunity. Impunity. He said, go ahead.
Sin with impunity, you have
no
impunity.
They won't know. They won't find out.
The Lord will forgive me.
He's already forgiven you.
Well, that's what I was saying before.
And when you do it,
yeah.
And when you do it,
yeah.
Then you say, man, why did I listen to him? And that's just one tactic. That's just one tactic that I've used on myself. And you know, it's you. It's you. It's your reasoning. It's your old man. It's your old man.
Knows how to push your old buttons.
Look.
That's true.
And all he does, let's pray. That's what else? Oh, 6:30. I have to think 6. I'm sorry.
20 more minutes.
The reason I did that is because I went over last week, and I apologize for that. I went over a lot. I've abused the camera and the tape, and you guys too. So I apologize for that. But thank you. No, I'm serious. But that's. But he uses that. He uses that psychology. Anything that he could do to deceive you.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, the Lord has already told us that we have been crucified with him. We have been circumcised from that old man. Don't let him do the thinking. All right, hold your hand there. Do what?
Control him instead of him controlling you.
You don't even have to control him. He says you reckon him to be what?
Dead.
Dead indeed.
Amen.
You know when they call your house, hi, is this Miss Mounts? Yes. Would you be interested in... They don't even have to get the pitch out. Am I right? Okay, so when you begin to do those old man processes, you know what it is. You need to recognize it for what it is.
Amen.
And
hang up the phone.
You need to do some replacement. where he's saying, do this, do this. That's provision when you start laying out the roadmap for sin. If I could do that, I have to leave here. I have to be there by so-and-so. I have to take this. That's provision. Yeah, right. Somebody with me. And the minute you start doing that, you say,
this is crazy.
Too much.
And you say, Lord, I'm making provision right now for the flesh. What should I do? He's already told. He says, reckon him what?
Dead indeed.
I like that. Amen. Because Amen. He didn't say reckon him dead. He said reckon him dead indeed. That means, as a matter of fact, he is. And I don't. When was the last time you bought something that you didn't want to buy from a solicitor?
2 minutes ago.
You can't recall, can you? Because even if you entertain them, they says we want to do a survey with you. It'll only take a few minutes, and it's okay. And they, and the minute they do that, it says okay, blah 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 blah. One more thing. And then the next thing you know, you've been talking to them for 15 minutes. And you know, I'm not going to buy anything. But the longer they talk to you,
the longer they feel obligated.
That's what they're banking on. That's what they're banking on is for you to break down. So that's the game. The longer you entertain the old man, The only problem with this is he's selling you something that you want. Mm-hmm. And it won't take that long to close the deal, Ed.
That's right.
Because he may not be finished. Okay, I'm done. Let's do it. It may not take that long. But James said this. He says, every man, when he's drawn away from, if a sin is when he's drawn away from his, by his own lust. And when he has thought about it and is conceived, and then it brings forth death. Not one time, not two times, every time. The wages of sin. Look, flip back to Romans 6, just for a minute. 6:21. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is what?
Death.
What things?
The fruit of the flesh.
The fruit of the old man. Mm-hmm. See, he didn't say fruit of the old man. He said, what fruit did you have? What the old man does is, that's your wages.
That's it. Yeah.
That's your pay.
That's your paycheck.
Don't want that.
But the fruit is from the Spirit.
Yes.
Because it's life begets life. The old man, you work for it and you get paid, and it's not the pay you want. It's death. All right. One more thing. Romans 8. Well, not one more thing, but we're getting there.
You know, forget about, you start on Romans 6 with the old man, Romans 7.
Romans 7 is how the old man is to, how he's to look at the law. You don't try to put yourself under performance. Because the minute you do that, all it is telling God that I can do it. You can't do it. Well, put it this way. I think Ed had mentioned before, he says, you have to separate between God doing it, bringing forth fruit in you, and you putting on a good show. What we have now, religious people put on a good show. That's what Paul was saying here. I was religious. See, here's the deal. You know what enables us to live under God and know that we're living under God? It's information about how it's done. So here we go. Sharon, we start at 9:45. We start at 11:15. We have class at 6:30 on the evenings, 7:30, 7 o'clock on Wednesday. So what you do, since you're the usher, your duty, and you there. You're there on time. Everyone. You got the gear, got the gloves, got the hat, you got the fans. And people look at her and say, she is so faithful to the Lord. Am I?
You're right.
But she's wrestling. She's wrestling on a daily basis with the flesh.
Yeah.
Because all we're looking at is the outward performance. And she doesn't know. She said, I'm sure. I'm glad when my rotation is up so I can go home and sit down.
Not my feet.
Mm-hmm. This is hypothetical. I don't know if she's ever been an usher. But from the outward appearance. And even the old man would tell her, you're doing good, girl.
Points.
You got points with God for this. Nobody else makes all the services that you make. You're going to get something for that. And God is way away from that. You know what he told Israel? He says, go ahead and bring your trespass offering. He said, I'm going to look at it like it was a swine offered on the altar. He said, come to Bethel and transgress. He was talking about the sacrifices. The sacrifices that they use to approach God with. He says, go ahead and bring them and transgress. Because it was just a ritual. It wasn't from the heart. It was from here. And Paul says, I did it from the head. He says, I try to keep those. He says, you know, I was there. I was in the synagogue. In Philippians. He says, I was tribe of Benjamin. From outward appearances, I was God's man. And even here, he says, I tried to do it. Do you remember the time where you didn't know this message and how you fooled yourself?
Yeah. Yes.
I do.
Yeah.
And thinking that, well, I'm better. I know I'm better than that guy. You never did that?
Oh, yes.
And at the same time, you knew. Your new man knew. He said, you are nothing.
Yeah.
You are nothing, and you know it. Because you're look at what you think. Look at what you do. Carrying that big Bible to church. You know. You know you. So, he says in verse... chapter 8. Mm-hmm. 8:5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is what?
Death.
But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. He says, the whole thing hinges on this now, is what kind of information you have.
Yeah.
Carnal is just like the old man. Mm-hmm. He says, if you occupy your mind with the same thing that the old man used to do, what's going to happen?
You'll die.
Mm-hmm. You'll die functionally. Your spirit life will die. Because, he tells you, because the carnal mind is what?
Enmity.
Against God.
Enmity is where we get the word?
Enemy.
Enemy is?
Bad.
Enemy against God? Bad. It's a, right. It's adverse. It's an adversary. He's against it. And he says this. He says, the carnal mind is enmity of God. Neither, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot
please God.
But ye are not in the flesh. How do you know you're not in the flesh now?
Information.
Amen.
What information? Be more specific.
Your
what God's the Word information. Of God, the Word of Truth tells us about our position in Christ. I'm buried with Him.
Yeah, come on.
Okay, and I'm resurrected with Him.
Missing something
I'm
very
with
important.
Him.
Crucified.
With Him?
Okay.
You what?
Crucified.
All right, give me another word. Crucified?
Resurrected?
What is it?
Circumcised.
That's how it got started, right? So he's our, you know what? You're separated. I keep saying. That's why he says in Romans 8, he says, look at 8:1. He says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the
flesh,
but after the
Spirit.
Same thing. He says, your obligation is not to the flesh, it's to the Spirit. Where are we?
52
minutes. All right. Verse 8. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is
dead.
Because of sin. But the Spirit is
life.
Because
of righteousness.
There's that circumcision again.
Okay.
The body is dead because of what?
Sin.
He said, you came here in sin. He says, I'm not going to get rid of that old man down here. We'll put it this way. He says, positionally, he's done. He's done. Spiritually, he's done. You're just walking around in it. That's why he says, they got a new one.
I was just thinking about a moving van coming to take you, new body to take you.
Oh, okay. But he's saying you've been, the body is dead because of
sin.
That's like, the only way I can think about it is, or I can think about it a different way, but just say your clothes are sin. And they're on you. They're actually, when you see me, you see my clothes. They're like a part of me, right? So when you see me, what do you see?
Sin.
You see sin. And he says, okay, you take them all off. And then you carrying them with you.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, what's he walking around with that sin for? Right?
Yeah.
And every once in a while, we put them back on. Right?
Yeah.
But he said, and he's saying, take them off.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, you think,
taking a shower.
He said, make not provision for the flesh. He says, but put ye on
the new man,
the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Put him on. Yes.
When he takes away your old man,
mm-hmm.
It's sort of like, when someone dies, someone else is born. Have you heard that? When the window closes, the window opens.
Yes.
When he takes away your old man, does he pass it on to someone else?
No, you still have him. You just carry him around with you. When he gets older, he'll understand it a whole lot better.
Well, who's the old man?
Unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's it. So, but what it is... It's just, like I said, the information of what he's already done. Verse 11. I'm sorry. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you,
amen.
He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your
mortal bodies
by his Spirit
that dwelleth in me.
Now, I have to read that again. He says, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, what do we call that Spirit?
Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
That he dwells where?
In me.
In you. Does he dwell in you?
Yes.
Okay. He says, if. That was like...
If you're 30, act like you're 30.
Rhetorical 30. Right.
Rhetorical.
Now, he says... He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also
quicken, make alive
your what?
His mortal flesh.
By
his Spirit
that
lives in me.
He says, you want to beat sin?
Set me in.
That's that right there. He says, there's something in you.
Amen.
somebody. And he takes this stuff right here. That's his
gadget.
Circumcision?
Cutting
away? No. Syringe.
Arthritis? More oil. I was thinking of adrenaline. That's his syringe.
Oh, okay.
The spirit. And the spirit, the Holy Spirit is, he takes that word of God.
Puts it right here.
Yeah, he puts it right there, but it what it does is, that's why I keep going back to the Word of God. We don't believe the power of the Word of God as a whole. Because you can't take in those words and think they're just words. For us, or it's death unto death to some, life unto life to some. So you can't take them in and nothing happened. Mm-hmm. It may not happen while we're looking, because we just plant water. But God, there's something's going to happen with God.
Amen.
There's no neutral ground. So he says that spirit, it'll quicken
my mortal body.
Now he's not talking about like coffee. You know, I'm dragging. I need to. Right, he's not talking about, I was dragging, but now I'm so happy. He's talking about he will quicken your mortal body to do what?
To obey or stand.
To not sin. Who's doing it?
He
is. He takes it by the Spirit, and he says, you know what, I want to do this. Lord, he says, I give you a good example. And I do it all the time. I'm not saying I do right all the time, but there's times where I know how I should deal with my wife. And I take the doctrine. The doctrine that's in me, it'll say, be not bitter against her. I got a choice right there.
Yeah.
I can yield to the old man who loves to be bitter. I got a whole lot of smart aleck things I can say, and it's right on top of my head. I could go 5 minutes. I wouldn't run out of them. And this, and this, and the other day, and this, and they store up. But, and I'm sure she does too. But here he says, husbands, be not bitter against them. And then I think about it, I said, yeah, you were once disobedient, deceitful, hateful, and hating one another. And he says, what makes you so hot? Treat her right.
Amen.
For Christ's sake. And while those words turn around, you know what? The Spirit, he just grabs a hold of the new man, and he said, that's what I need right there. And I said, go on outside, boy. Quit acting silly. They don't say that, but and you go out and thinking about the Word of God, and you don't go out and say, I beat that one. You say, thank you, Lord.
That's the difference between being indwelt and the infilling.
Exactly. Every believer is
indwelt.
That's why he said in Ephesians, he says, be not drunk with wine, but be what? So, he says, to answer your question, back to Colossians. No, that's. He says.
Colossians what?
Colossians 2. And that's what he starts off talking about, what they had in Christ, what you had, that in him is filled, is all the wisdom and treasures of the knowledge of God.
Amen.
And when he goes through, he said, you're complete.
Mm-hmm.
You got everything you need.
Right.
He said, you're buried,
mm-hmm.
you're baptized, mm-hmm. and you're circumcised, mm-hmm. with the circumcision made
without
hands.
Mm-hmm.
It's spiritual.
And the answer was in verse 12.
Buried with him in baptism, wherein ye are also risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead,
mm-hmm.
and You being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you most of your trespasses.
All.
And after that information, all you can say is,
amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory.
Thank you.
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the privilege again to look into it. Lord, we said a lot tonight, but we know all it takes is one verse from you to impress on our hearts. And we'll take Colossians 2:12 tonight, and we'll meditate on that. And thank you for what you've already done, what you're doing, and what you will do. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We didn't make it, did we? Did we get
the... 1 minute.
I mean, did you get the prayer? You didn't get
no,
the prayer?
No, I preached during the
doctor.
But it could have gone on.
Very, very good.
Well,
thank you.
So what made you think of that? You were reading that.
I was reading it.
Okay.
And then when I got here, I said, oh, there's my answer. I was praying early. Lord, give me the answer. And I got the answer, and Lauren said, don't tell him.
Because
I shared with him. Ah. He said, don't tell him. I said, okay.
Well, we could have been done in 5 minutes.
No,
No.
So it was so good. And it all correlated with Colossians 2, 11, 12, and 13. So it was great.
So continue
to
answer, and now let's work at it.
But I knew you were going to use the whole period. I didn't know that was going to answer. Then I was going to be satisfied. I answered. Share my answer.
We could have done 1 hour. We could have done 10 minutes. Oh, you know what?
That was good.
I didn't stop this thing.